This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Rough day for the defense. It's Christian Arcand. It's Andy Hart. It's WEEI Afternoons. That was the Jaylen Waddle touchdown. He had a monster game, and he's not had a good season, so that's not great. It seemed like they were just targeting whoever Marcus Jones happened to be covering, or Kyle Duggar for that matter. Those two guys both had a rough day trying to cover in the secondary, as both Jonnu Smith and as the aforementioned Jaylen Waddle kind of just running wild in that secondary. Really hard time defending the middle of the field. Adjustments, it seemed like they tried to make adjustments, they just didn't work, which I guess is progress from last week, where they just didn't put Gonzalez on either of the two receivers that were killing him all day. Gonzalez did a pretty good job on Hill the times I saw him out there in coverage. It's hard to know exactly. We're not without watching all 22s and everything, what the matchups were and when exactly they were in zone or not, and sort of all that from the TV broadcast. But it seemed like Hill didn't do much. Waddle was doing everything, and Jonnu Smith just was making big catches and big situations. And it begs the question, Andy, this defense regressing as much as it has, I think, is the biggest problem this team has right now on some level. Now, you can also make the case that last year it was a top 10 defense, right? I mean, statistically, not all stats, but in some stats, it was a top 10 defense. The point, I guess, is that if your offense sucks this much, even if you have a top 10 defense, you still only win four games. If you have a top 20 defense, which is debatable this year, you still only win three or four games. The offense is the bigger problem, but I think the biggest regression is definitely the defense. I mean, you had the chance to win some of these games with your defense if you were playing with last year's scheme and maybe last year's coaches. Not a lot of the players are missing. Like, you have a lot of the same guys. It's just not working out this year, and I think that has stood out the most to me anyway in terms of things that have nosedived from last year to this year.
Yeah, the defense has not lived up to the hype of the preseason. There were a lot of people that thought this defense was going to be borderline capable of winning games on its own. And the injuries, there's been injuries, there's been losses. Jabril Peppers is not a part of the mix. Christian Barmore is just getting back out there, and if we're being honest, hasn't really been all that impactful. Even the sack he had yesterday.
I noticed him a few times in the game, at least. He wasn't doing much, but no one else was. So.
No. Juwan Bentley, you're without. Like, there's definitely some missing pieces to this defense. Some of the guys that we expected to be better haven't been. In some light, like Keon White, I think, kind of peaked very early in the season and now feels like a guy who kind of runs around at times like a chicken with his head cut off and hits everything that moves, but I'm not sure it's always productive in a way. You know, it's funny, you brought up your boy Dove Kleiman, or however the hell you say it.
Yes, earlier. Right, Dove Kleiman.
His latest...
Again, not my boy. Not even sure he's a real person. And this definitely isn't whoever used to own the account. He sold it off to somebody.
So whoever, whatever it is, put out a post 2 hours ago, trending in all bold. Patriot safety Kyle Duggar needs to be cut.
That's trending?
In uppercase letters, as soon as possible. Atrocious film from yesterday. And then there's film below. I think he attributes it. I think Taylor Kyles must have posted a film breakdown of Duggar. But now these aggregators are like local fanboys. They're asking, he's got to be cut. He was so bad yesterday. I mean,
engagement. It's all about making money off engagement.
I hate it.
That's all that matters.
I hate it.
It's really the only thing that matters to those guys.
Kyle Duggar didn't have a good day. He didn't tackle well. He didn't cover well. They picked on him.
Mm-hmm.
He was part of the communication issues on that A-chain touchdown, which was one of the easiest touchdowns I've ever seen in my entire life.
He could have cartwheeled into the end.
Absolutely. You could have run in. I could have run in. Anybody could have run in on that one. But Kyle Duggar, like, is he the story of this team? Like, I just, that annoys me. I wouldn't have re-signed him, by the way. I was on the record last April, March, whenever the hell it was. We did podcasts. I remember my boy... Cadlick,
yes.
Different guy. The podcast with Bedard.
That's right.
Cadlick, like, was surprised that I just wouldn't re-sign Kyle Duggar, and it was the replication of skills. I've always thought he was kind of a liability in coverage. Didn't really feel like he felt was like a part of the future building of something and spending that money that you could use elsewhere. And I thought he really was the poster boy for the defense yesterday. Like, that's supposed to be a $50 million player who is the core of your defense, who you re-signed Elliott Wolf as part of your big offseason.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the Dolphins were like, yes, please. Every time they saw him, they were like, yes, please.
Yeah, and he's never really been a great cover safety anyway. I
mean, he's good when he's coming forward
hitting
things.
He's a box safety. That's what he is, yeah. And he's good in those settings, and sometimes he can jump in and pick off a screen or something like that. But in general, when he has to go back there and defend, especially an athletic, fast tight end who can catch, except when he plays for the Patriots, like Jonnu Smith, then
he was just chasing him.
Yeah, he had no chance out there.
But the defense as a whole has been a terrible disappointment, and I would include the coaching in there because you had continuity.
Yeah.
You lost your play caller, Steve Belichick, but you kept two of your main coaches. One is now the head coach, and he was sort of the co-defensive coordinator, running the meetings, running the room, and everybody, I think, liked the idea of promoting DeMarcus Covington.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't seem like it's worked very well, that continuity. It's kind of like the continuity on the O-line they were bragging about this week. We've got the same line for the third week in a row. This is going to be awesome. Editor's note, it was not.
Yeah, the Belichick coaching tree continuing to struggle, and that includes his son, by the way. That Washington Huskies defense hasn't been too great this
year. Oh, the bloom is off?
No.
Because they were good early in the year.
They're like middle of the Big Ten now. They're probably like, fifth or sixth best defense in the Big Ten, which, again, I mean, listen, that's just one conference, and it's not terrible. But I also think bravo for him for going off on his own and doing something outside of the umbrella of his father. Now, I don't know if he would have been retained here even or what they would have done or what they were thinking, but I do sort of think that, and I was thinking this yesterday, if Gerard Mayo had maybe taken one of those like Broncos defensive coordinator jobs he interviewed for, the Cleveland one, or I think Carolina was interested in him, he ended up taking much of the interviews even because he knew that he was going to get this.
Right.
But I wonder if maybe he had and just sort of seen what it's like and not be here and not be sort of propped up as the guy in New England. You're just another coordinator, and you got to go out there and figure out what works and what doesn't and sort of learn how to make your mistakes and how to fix them and all that. It just seems like he's learning all of that on the fly in real time in front of us, and he's learning a new set of mistakes every single week. I mean, on and off the field, at the podium, on the sideline, wherever. By the way, the Patriots right now are last in the NFL in yards per game. And 31st in points per game. Basically the worst offense in the league. Last year, they were last in points and 29th in yards. Basically the worst offense in the league. This year, they have a defense, I'd say, that's in the bottom third, right? Is that fair to say? Last year, they were a top 10 defense. Both years, they're a four-win team. So, really, I mean, you can nitpick certain things about the defense. What I think this tells me is that this offense has been neglected so long that even with a promising quarterback like Drake May, you don't have enough there to pull yourself up out of the basement. You've got to really rework this entire offense, and I don't know if that happens in one offseason. That's what I'm worried about.
And that's why I Drake May kind of...
They're 2 years running now, worst offense in the league.
Yeah, they are, and they're probably going to be next year, potentially, depending on what they do. But that's why I asked Drake May, and I expected him to kind of sidestep, but he actually had a pretty good answer about the young receivers.
Yes.
Because I do think from my perspective, they may not look at it this way. From my perspective, I would really like to have a strong feeling for what I have in Jalen Polk, Javon Baker, and Jaheim Bell after this season. And is Bell capable of stepping up to the Austin Hooper role next year and be the second tight end and be a guy that can catch some passes and make some plays? Because I think Hunter Henry will be back. He'll be his role as a good veteran presence. He's probably the best pass catcher on the team right now. And at the receiver position, I saw somebody earlier, I think it was actually Taylor Kyles mentioned him again, was sort of penciling in on the offense guys that you feel pretty strongly are in their roles. Like, Mike Onwenu, right guard, David Andrews at center.
Yep.
I think he had DeMario Douglas as the number three receiver, which we can have. I'm not sure I'd use a Sharpie, a ballpoint pen with some white out handy. But I would like to know if these young receivers, are you doing, I think you used the phrase total reset at some point.
Yeah. I think I said full enema, but yeah, same thing.
Yeah, mine's cleaner and nicer. I think that's still a possibility. I really do. And are you learning anything? Have we seen anything to really? Baker hasn't done anything. Baker doesn't even get out there. Polk was out there early, caught a pass early, actually caught it and got productive gain on a little screen, I think it was. But I personally, with five games to go, would be leaning into those. Yeah. At the very least, heavy rotations at the receiver position, getting a lot of bodies out there, rotating them through and seeing what clicks with Drake. And it may not be fair, but I would argue with DeMario Douglas and these other guys, they don't seem like they're on the same page with him either.
No, it doesn't.
So I'm not sure it could be much worse with Baker or Polk out there at this point.
I think the only thing you really worry about there is this good for Drake May to go out there with a rotating, clown car of wide receivers and have to relearn the chemistry with each guy each week. I think that could be considered something that stunts his growth. I don't think that's a hot take particularly, but you also want to know what you have. I think at this point, and we'll get to the Andy Hart plan in just a minute here, at this point, you gotta start getting some sure things in here and stop betting on the idea that this team knows how to evaluate college wide receivers. I think it's as simple as that. 617-779-7937. Let's go to the phones here. We have neglected our callers here so far on the show. Let's begin things with Joe in Melrose. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, guys. Looking at yes.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Today, definitely, the two tackles were definitely the weak point of the team. They definitely have to draft a left tackle in the first round at the first pick. They can't even contemplate trading down. That position so important. I think, hopefully, I don't know if Caden Wallace could play right tackle if he's ever going to get healthy, but if you decide he can't be a right tackle, you're going to have to tell Mike Owenu he's going to have to lose some weight in the offseason and play right tackle. And, I mean, they have to sign T. Higgins. They got to sign a lot of people this offseason.
Yeah, no, they do. I agree with you, and thanks for the call. I think that it's interesting you said you can't trade back. This draft class is looking like almost a total bust outside of Drake May, right? I mean, it's there's very little to hang your hat on as far as this draft class is concerned. You can only spend so much in free agency. Like you like to say, well, they got $140 million. There's only going to be so many guys available that you actually want to pay.
Correct.
Right? You can spend just to spend, and I think that they're going to have to fill the roster out. But when you talk about no way you trade back, I'm starting to question that a little bit. You want elite talent, but you basically whiffed on an entire draft here outside of one guy. You know, maybe you need more stabs at it. Maybe that trading down is exactly what we want to do. If you're talking about filling out the roster, you've already missed on enough guys that I think you don't really need to see any more. It's time to move on. It's time to bring in another class and hope that you do a little bit better this time around. And that may be a risky maneuver, too, here with Elliot Wolf. Who knows if he knows how to draft at all, or Matt Groh or any of these guys. So far, it doesn't really seem like it. All they did that worked was the most obvious pick in the world. Get the quarterback that falls to you and draft him. Other than that, they missed on pretty much everybody.
But that's the only pick they hit. So going just on his track record, he hits the blue chipper. That's right. Obvious. So you're now in the fourth slot after yesterday's loss, according to Tankathon, I believe, which is one of the great things that actually came out of yesterday. Top five pick again. I would not be looking to trade down. Now, depending on where I am, if they win a game or two and end up back down 7 or 8, and you're on this weird line of, are these blue chippers, are these not blue chippers, right, somebody's interested. But if you're the fourth pick in the draft, let's just use that as the holding point right now, because it is, I'm taking what I hope is a blue chipper. Blue chipper. I don't care what he is.
Doesn't matter what it is. Okay.
No, I'm not taking a tackle just because I need a tackle.
Right.
This year, now I'm in sort of your world of if it's Travis Hunter, or if it's McMillan, or if it's there's a corner out of Michigan, there's a D tackle out of Michigan, I don't care who it is. I need a blue chip. We have that list we've started.
Yep.
It says May at 1. It says Gonzo at 2. Might say Barmore at 3. And then it's got open spots for the foundation of my team. I need to add a name to that list of foundational pieces.
Agreed.
Wherever he is. Hell, maybe it's Genty. However you say it, the running back. If he's the blue chipper.
Boise State.
If he's Saquon Barkley 2.0, take him. Although I actually think
taking a running back in the top 10,
he's a blue chipper.
Yeah, listen.
That running back looks pretty good on the Eagles now.
He does.
He might win Offensive Player of the Year, and some people think he could be in the hunt for MVP.
Yeah.
Right?
If he was on the Patriots, probably not. But yes, I agree.
Well, definitely not.
Right.
And because
that's sort of the point, though, is like, you know, you have to build up something before a guy comes.
But I don't want a bunch
chipper.
Of Jags. That's what you did this year. You drafted a bunch of Jags. You got a wide receiver. Oh, hey, good enough at the end of the second round, 39, wherever the hell they got. I guess that's not the end. That's the middle of the second round. But you need blue chip talent on this roster. And I'm counting on you to add some with money in March. And then I'm going to count on you to add some with draft picks in April. And the whole trade down, that's a Belichickian theory, right? Oh, I mean, the guy you're going to get here is similar to the guy here, so I might as well trade down and get two of those guys. And that increases my odds of winning, does it? Good guys go near the top of the draft. The best guys are more likely to go near the top of the draft. They go everywhere. No, I do not want to trade down. I want to take a blue chipper, hopefully in the top 2 or 3. The hope is coming. We're trending back in that other direction.
We are.
In case you haven't noticed.
And by the way, you got 2 games with Buffalo coming up. So
yes.
Buckle up here. This may be a trip to the bottom pretty quick. You can have the first overall pick still.
We're number one.
That is not out of the question. Let's go to Tom in North Andover. Hi, Tom.
Hi, you got me?
Yes, hi, Tom.
Yeah, here we go.
Okay.
Hey, listen, long time, first time.
Cool.
You just kind of hit on my point that I was going to make, is that, you know, going into the season, I had no high expectations on the coaching staff. They're all rookies. They've never done it before. You know, I didn't think it would be this bad, but it is what it is. My concern is moving forward. So you're going to have another high draft pick. You're going to have all this money. And who's in charge of this? Elliot Wolf in upper management? I have zero. I just don't think that they're going to make the right call.
Listen, you're not the only one. You're not alone in thinking that. And this past offseason, the draft and free agency, I think, really hasn't done Elliot Wolf any favors. And as the season goes on, it gets worse. You know, even these rookies who got off to tough starts haven't gotten any better. Like, you're not seeing any improvement really anywhere from other than May. And even May took a step back yesterday, I'd say. That was probably, so, I don't know if it was his worst game, but it definitely wasn't his best one. And he's not, and prior to that, I thought you could make the case at least he seems to be taking a step forward each week. I think this was a collective step backwards this past week. And these rookies, I mean, you look at this class. I don't know. I'd have to go back and see every single one of these rookie classes, but you'd be hard-pressed to find the less effective one outside of the third overall pick here.
So, in one sense, I find this a little I agree totally with you and the caller. Totally. I have no faith in Elliott Wolf. But in a little, in one sense, it makes me feel a little bit like Elliott Wolf is John Henry. Because we always thought that the ownership group that brought a title to Boston
right.
is going to be beloved. And God forbid you bring multiple titles to the Red Sox, you're going to, like, people will love you forever. They're going to build bridges and put up statues. And people kind of hate him right now because of what they've done recently. And Elliott Wolf, I think if people said, if he gets
people
you,
don't attribute the championships to Elliott Wolf, though.
No. It was said, if you get the quarterback, that's all that matters.
I'm sorry, I see what you're saying. Okay, yeah.
He did the thing that supposedly was all anybody wanted.
Mm-hmm.
We got to get the quarterback. That's all I care about. We need a franchise. And I think most people believe he got the quarterback. That they had, I mean, yesterday wasn't the best day for the quarterback.
It was not, no.
But most people believe you have a young, fun, competitive, modern, capable quarterback. You have a franchise quarterback.
But I don't buy what you just said. Like, I don't. That wasn't my standard for what constitutes a good year for Elliott Wolf.
Okay.
Just getting the quarterback.
I'm just saying most people it was.
Building an environment for the quarterback to succeed in, I thought, was equally as important as getting the quarterback.
Okay.
Surrounding him with something. I mean, he's got nothing out there. He's got nothing on the line. He's got no one to throw to. The coaching staff, that's not Elliott Wolf's fault, but the coaching staff has no idea what's going on. And I just
that's
feel like...
That's kind of his fault. He was involved in hiring the coaching staff.
He was, but he's more, you know, in terms of, like, personnel.
They used his Rolodex.
Sort of, but they really just used Kraft's Rolodex, right?
I don't know.
Well, Van Pelt maybe not.
Alex,
but like,
Van Pelt is literally, like, Green Bay, Cleveland,
true.
New England.
But
where did
Elliott
Wolf go? Green Bay, Cleveland, New England.
He was also the 13th pick that they had on their list. So, I mean, they had to settle with what they got. Gerard Mayo, that wasn't Elliott Wolf. That was the Kraft.
No, that's all
They
Kraft.
Brought him in there, and I think that was sort of the main focus. But, like, either way, you're talking about a situation where every other rookie quarterback has at least one of those things. They have at least some weapons to throw to, or a head coach who's got chops in offense or something. You know, I mean, it's just every single one of them, there's some kind of advantage that they have over Drake May. Drake May has nothing.
Right.
And
no,
that's
I agree
Elliott
with that.
Wolf's fault.
Well, I mean, it's Elliott Wolf and Bill Belichick's fault.
Well, true. I mean, I agree.
The cupboard was bare, and then you could argue Elliott didn't really take any steps to restock even the basic items. He didn't even buy paper towels. He didn't even nail toilet paper. Like, it is still bare and empty. But I do think most people prioritize just, I need the quarterback. If you get the quarterback, that's the first. It's why some people feared using the pick on a quarterback, because if you screw it up, now you've done nothing,
right.
And like, now you're in the dryer, just flipping, tumbling over. You got the quarterback. He nailed. He could have traded it. He could have traded with the Giants or whoever else. He could have taken a receiver. He could have, but he got the quarterback. He just didn't get anything else, and that's where I don't think people really presumed or assumed. Literally, he would get nothing else. Because I think you can make that argument. He got nothing else.
Yeah.
What did he add to this roster in any productive fashion? Nothing. Maybe Antonio Gibson. Maybe. But he hasn't even really been all that great.
No, he's been a decent secondary back,
right.
But that's it, you know? And he's not even really been, like,
Hooper?
He hasn't made a big impact.
Right.
I wouldn't say he's an upgrade from Zeke Elliott last year.
And I'm not even sure if Hooper was Elliott Wolf's call or if Van Pelt was like, I like this Hooper guy. He's worked with me before. I think we need a couple guys like him, and let's bring him in. He added nothing to the quarterback position. That's all he hit on. Like, that is his only leg to stand on. If you asked me, oh, do we have time for the plan? Damn it!
No, let's do the plan next.
Okay.
All right, we'll get back to the Andy Hart plan,
too.
And we'll get to your phone calls as well at 617-779-7937. I see you lined up waiting patiently. We'll get to you right after this.